Welcome back, middle-aged gamers. It's time for another episode of your favorite podcast. This week, we'll be covering one of the most beloved companies in gaming history, Nintendo. And it's going to be awesome. Now, we'd be here all day if we covered everything we have to say about this titan of time sinks. So in this episode, we'll be focusing on our three favorite franchises, Mario Party, The Legend of Zelda, and Metroid. Did your favorite franchise make the cut? Drop us a line at Facebook or YouTube or middleagegaming2020@gmail.com and let us know. But until then, it's time for the show! Hello, we are back with another great episode of Middle Age Gaming, where nostalgia is our favorite gameplay mechanic. And we had originally planned to do an episode featuring The Legend of Zelda. But in fun fact, one of us apparently has never played a Legend of Zelda game. We're not going to name any names here. So instead, I am going to allow Antoine to fill you in on today's theme for the episode. Go play me on the Nintendo.
So indeed, since we can't focus on one specific franchise, we took the other option, which is each of us is going to talk about our favorite Nintendo franchise. So you'll see our pick. And I believe that this time Phil is starting because I did the honors last week.
Okay, so I have gone with one of my favorite Switch games. And for me, it defines everything that is a Nintendo game for party play, for fun play, and all your favorite Mario characters, with quite a few mixed in with other games as well. So I looked at Mario Party, especially because we have Mario Party Superstars releasing on the 29th of October. So very, very soon for us to get into. It's been a while. I didn't write down when Super Mario Party was released, but pretty much the beginning of the Switch series. So it's been around for maybe 3 years or so, I think, 2 or 3 years. Superstars is looking good. Everything that I've seen so far from their releases, from what they're saying about it, what reviewers are saying from having played parts of the game, is it's going to be they're stepping back more towards the N64 style of play, in that the five boards that you can play, three that they've released, Peach's Birthday Cake, Spaceland, and Woody Woods, are all from Mario Party 1, 2, and 3. The boards are bigger. They're better. Well, who knows about better? But I think that when you're playing a board game, you want a bigger board. You don't want some of the boards to be just far too small on Mario Party, Super Mario Party. The dice, they're going back to 1 to 10. I'm not entirely sure whether this is a positive or not. They're getting rid of character dice. So it kind of puts everyone even. And again, I'm not sure. I kind of liked that play of everything having different dice. And reviewers that I've read have said, well, I don't know why they didn't keep it so that you could have the option. You can play like a classic game or have them with their own special dice. It wouldn't really have required that much coding, I believe. But anyway, they're going back to their roots a little bit. They've got 100 really good mini games. Again, I've looked through the list of some of the best ones. They seem to be, I can't remember how many they've released so far, but they're pretty solid, fun games. And like I say, I'm looking forward to it in that it seems to be they've gone back to what players wanted. There was some murmurs and complaints about the last couple about how they've changed the gameplay, and it just wasn't quite the same feel as what they had. So let's hope. I mean, the boards do look good. They like I said, they're nice and big so that you get more involved in your game. And I think the board has more into it as well. I've seen Peach's Birthday Cake, when you're walking around those tiles, maybe like a third of the tiles have some special icon or ability to it. Whereas when you were playing on Super Mario Party, there was far less interesting stuff going on from the board. There was maybe one or two mechanics going on with the board or a shortcut or one psych effect. This one seems to be far more action-packed and the game board is going to interact with you more, which is what you want. I mean, you don't really want to be playing a board game that's just about those mini games and then, you know, 95% of the rest of the time you're just rolling a dice and you're moving on. This seems to be have that quirky randomness of the game can just flip, you know, at a random time. And somebody who's way ahead, you're going to have that opportunity of taking the stars, balancing the game, and having fun. For those of you who haven't played a Mario Party game, it basically is just a board game where you get to choose from a variety of Donkey Kong, Mario, you know, a whole load of characters, classic characters, mainly from the Mario series, in your these huge big boards. And then at the end of each level, you play like a mini game. And it's either, if there's four of you playing, it can be a 1v3, it can be every man for themselves, it can be a 2v2, sometimes it can even be like 4v0. You've got to kind of like work each time with a different group of people. And that means that the mini games are all completely varied. There are some mini games that, like I say, you can be like a Mario Kart type thing where it's just the winners, or the 2v2 where you're trying to work together. Or there was some crazy 3v1s on Super Mario Party where, you know, one person had a big tennis racket and everybody else had little tiny rackets. So you're playing 1v3 for tennis. So there's lots of interesting fun. And you can play different modes in that you don't have to play the boards. You could also play just the mini games. If there's, you know, you're at a party and you don't really want to do the whole dice roll thing, you just want to play silly games. There's also like a rafting game where you're going down the raft and you're all working together and you've got to try and survive all the way down to the end of this, you know, river rapids type system. And I'm not sure all of the gameplay options. Super Mario Party also had an option where you were playing a song and you were doing the dances and you had to sort of like move the, it was almost like a Just Dance type thing where you move the controllers with the beat to be the winners. So, and I'm not sure, they've not released whether that's going to remain in the game, but there seems to be lots of features and lots of add-ons so that you're not just forced to have to play it up and play this board game, because the board games can take, you know, between 1 and 3 hours, depending how long you're playing the turn. They have released that this one's going to be online play as well, so you can play with your friends online. And there's also save options, which there weren't in previous editions, in that you can choose to stop your level halfway through. It will save, and then you can come back to the game at another time, which is fantastic, because I don't know how many of you have played this game, but one of the big issues for me was, you know, you play like the 20 turn game and all of a sudden halfway through you have to stop the game and boom, you know, it's just whoever's winning at that stage. It takes away from the fun of it when you just keep starting and not finishing games. So I feel like that is an option that they've engaged with online play, and that you can play with your friends and you can now save those games and come back to them, which is fantastic. So how about you guys? You guys play Mario Party? Are you looking forward to getting Mario Party Superstars? Antoine?
Well, you need friends to play this game, so it's a bit tough for me.
Oh, that's so sad.
No, I'm kidding. Just like, I don't think this online feature is, I think it's pretty new, right? It's with the last one or something. Mm-hmm. Because before, you actually needed people on your couch to play, and I don't think I had many people playing Nintendo games. It was more of my friends are usually PC gamers, maybe PlayStation, but Switch, or at least Nintendo, not that much. So I know, of course, this series, and it looks very fun, but I never really played it much. I have a question. I saw, unfortunately, a lot of critics of the Mario Party 8 on Switch. So I don't know if it's really that bad or not. I never played it, and I don't really have any comparison to make. But what I heard, which was very frustrated, that on the online game, when you take four people in four different houses, it's quite often that you have a connection issue, and that if one drops the game, the whole game, you know, like crash and it's back from the start. Is it really like this? Does it really happen like this? Or does it save your game and you can go back? Or
We being a brand new feature and not out for another month, they haven't exactly clarified. All I know is that they've said that there's this save feature. Now, there hasn't been a save feature before, so which meant that if somebody disconnected out your game was gone. With the save feature, perhaps that maybe covers that issue. Again, I'm only speculating, in that if you disconnect, then it will save it, or, you know, allow them to reconnect. I know a lot of people complained about that. I would suspect that that's something that they've looked into, and that is part of why this save feature exists, to compensate for people disconnecting.
That would be a very good fix out. Good for me.
Yeah, for the online play, does it have to be people on your friends list, or can you play with randoms?
I think they said it's random. They said you can just play with whoever.
Oh, okay. Because then, like, this, it seems like a save feature might not be entirely beneficial, because you don't know if you're ever going to play with those people again.
Mm.
Yeah.
But I guess the idea is you're not really going to be using the save with those. If you're probably just connecting random for an hour and a half, you probably planned it.
You know? Yeah. And do you know if they're going to have any kind of like drop in, drop out feature? For example, if somebody could you take over for somebody else or?
Yeah, I've not seen.
Oh, okay. You think they're ever going to add non-Nintendo characters in the same way that we've seen in, say, Super Smash or something like that? Or some of the Mario games I know have added, like, say, Sonic the Hedgehog franchise characters. And you think we're ever going to see that, or you think they're going to stick mostly to Nintendo characters?
I think they tend to have a far smaller character pool. I'm trying to think on the last one how many there were. I think there was only... Well, maybe there were about 12 or 16 or so. I'm not sure how many they've got planned for this release, but I'm not sure. I think they're probably okay with what they are in that they've got rid of the individuality that existed in some of the previous editions where the character dice were, if your character was stronger, then you had a stronger dice. They seem to have realized that was a bit unfair because some character dice had up to like tens on their dice and some others had threes and fours only. So they were more stable. So you could either choose a character you were going to get three and fours instead of your one to six range, you only got three and four. You had some that were like 0, 0, 8, 8, you know, 10, lose some coins, which were complete gamble plays. And I think they probably realized that for those, it wasn't particularly very exciting because either you had a really good run of form and you got 50% tens and you ended up halfway around the board, you know, much faster than everybody else. Or there's games where I've played with somebody where 80% of the time they just roll lose coins and they end up stuck on the starting position for, you know, 60% of the game. And then it ends up not being very fun. So I think they probably realized that was a mistake in that there was too much of a variance in it. Mm. And with getting rid of those, making everything a bit more toned down, I think maybe there's not really room or no point in adding characters from outside because they still have quite a wealth of characters just from inside Mario.
Yeah,
with the princesses and the, you know,
and Donkey Kong, which technically isn't Mario, but he is a Nintendo icon. So,
yeah, right. I guess he's kind of related to Mario, close enough.
Yeah, I've never really played. Oh, yeah, no, the original Mario showed up in a Donkey Kong game. Yeah, that makes sense, right? I've never actually played a Mario Party game, but do the characters, are they purely just aesthetics, or does like say Bowser play slightly differently than Mario? Or?
No, entirely cosmetic.
Oh, okay.
It makes no real difference.
Pieces, basically. All right. Yeah, this one looks... I've always kind of wanted to try a Mario Party because I've always heard people talking about it, but I've never known somebody that actually owned one. So I've never actually played Mario Party. And looking back now when I was editing the videos and I was looking at... They had the original one had a little karting thing and I was kind of like, oh, I wonder... And I was like, oh, I wonder if these kind of inspired the Mario Kart game. But then I was like, no, wait, Mario Kart came out on Super Nintendo, so it's probably the other way around. So, but yeah, definitely looks interesting, looks fun. I just wonder how long an average game takes, do you know?
You can usually you pick at the start, so you can have like 10 turn, 20 turn, or 30 turns.
Okay.
And that's how many affects your gameplay. It's usually about an hour for every 10 extra turns, depending on how many people there are. And then like say you roll, so I'd roll, do whatever the game board effect is, you'd roll, do whatever the game board effect is, and at the end of the turn, it would randomize like a mini game to play for extra coins, and the mini games take sort of anything between 30 seconds to, you know, 2.5, 3 minutes, depending. But you get like a little, before you go into the mini game, you get like a little practice window where you can like practice mini games, so you kind of at least get an idea of the controls, and then you can all go in and play the mini games. It's not too unfair that somebody who's completely new has absolutely no idea what even to press. They get rid of that.
All right, and this would be, I mean, because Antoine says he has nobody to play with, but this would be a good family game, right?
Mm-hmm, yep.
You get the kids and the wife on board.
The benefits of the Joy-Con, yeah. If you've got two Joy-Cons, break them up, four players, you can play them with the kids, and it's really, most of it is based, you know, and targeted on children to get them into the gaming world. So it's kind of like, you know, with that mini game action at the end of each turns, it keeps them doing stuff. And, you know, all they're doing is sit around waiting for the other people to roll their dice and roll along the board. And then all of a sudden a bit of action and everybody's playing some little crazy mini game.
Would you say there's like age limit kind of thing? Like, how old would you say somebody should probably be to be able to handle some of the mechanics? And
I'm trying to think. I think I've had my nephew play it when he was probably about 4 or 5. He was probably a bit too young, but he was having fun with the fact that he was just playing a game and not really too worried about the fact that he was losing. I'd say probably anybody from about 7 or 8. It's probably where you're going to be okay with the games. Because they're fairly simple. I mean, look, you can probably see from the little mini games on the screen, they're only ever sort of like jump or press a couple of buttons in a certain way and things like that.
Yeah, the one with the tricycle, it's just rotating mm-hmm. to get the wheels on. So,
yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, I was just reading.
It's just on the Mario topic, you were saying it's good for the kids. I'm already playing Mario Kart, you know, with the kids. And in the Nintendo universe, there's so many Mario games, you have to choose at some point which one you want to play because you have Mario Party, Mario Kart, Mario Tennis, Mario Golf, Mario whatever. You can't buy all of them, right?
No.
That's the positive thing.
The Kart one.
That's the positive thing about Mario Party, in that, in a way, for me, it is probably the best of all of them. In that, it doesn't have Mario Kart, but it probably has some sort of like karting experience or game or racing game. But at the same time, it has got whatever. Like I saw 80 on the screen, but it said 80 new games. I'm sure I read somewhere else it was supposed to be 100. But you've got 80 or 100 mini games that are, you know, they're just different. Whereas Mario Kart, I do love Mario Kart. It's a fantastic game. But at the end of the day, you kind of do feel a bit like, okay, I'm done with Mario Karting now. I kind of don't want to kart anymore. Whereas with this, you know, you can play a board game and play maybe 20 mini games and they're all completely different. And the next time you play, you could get 20 completely different mini games. So just there's just real difference to it. And those game boards do make a difference. Some like circular and, you know, you've got to, there's paths and certain ways you can go to. There's some, I've not seen it on the screen yet, but there's like a big space land board with bullets that shoot through the middle and you've kind of got to choose which way you're going to go around the board. For me, it's just, this is the game, you know, if you want to play with kids. Yeah. Just because, well, I don't know, for me, I'm especially when I was a kid, I got bored of playing the same thing for too long. Whereas something where you're constantly playing different games and everything is different, the controls going to be different. It just keeps you more focused, I think.
All right, there you go. There's a recommendation for Antoine right there.
No, I'm good with Mario Kart.
Oh, no. Yeah. All right, well, then, seeing as this hasn't piqued your interest, what is your franchise of choice?
Of course, that would be Legend of Zelda, which I was hoping that we could do the whole podcast about, but unfortunately, Phil never heard about it, so that's all right.
Oh, no, we weren't naming names.
Name and shame. I feel discriminated against.
Really, if you listen to our podcast from last week, which I really recommend you do, you would have known that Phil is the one who never played Zelda before. So yes, I do recommend you to play. Of course, I can't talk about each and every game in the Zelda franchise because each of them would be at least 20 minutes, half an hour to talk about. So we're going to talk about the franchise in general. And there's something I noticed. And Adam, you do know your Zelda, right? At least a bit?
I've played Zelda, yeah.
So you must be aware that there's an actual timeline in the Zelda franchise.
I'm aware that there's a vague timeline that certain games are clearly occurring before other ones, but it's a strange concept of reincarnation and repeated histories and such and such.
Yeah, I found it very funny because it's a typical trope of, like Mario, basically, your princess gets captured and you have to do your own adventure with your hero to rescue the princess. But I don't think they did this in Mario, but in Zelda, Nintendo actually released quite recently the official timeline. So if you're interested in the timeline, you can find it online, which starts with Skyward Sword, which got its HD remake on Switch very recently, and ends up all the way to Breath of the Wild, also on Switch. So you can play the end and the very beginning, the very beginning and the end, if you will. And soon you would have the Breath of the Wild 2, which very logically goes at the very end of the timeline. I don't know what's going to happen after, but in terms of timeline, what happens is they try to arrange it to their source. For instance, everything which was that I don't want to talk about. So maybe you remember Zelda happens to have three games, the Trilogy of Shame, as they call it, on the Philips CDI. If you don't know Yeah, Zelda, Face of Evil, this kind of thing. If you don't know this, you must, of course, go check them on YouTube or something. There's so many memes on these. It's really a joke. So, of course, Nintendo said, it was Philips on stuff, and we don't talk to these people. So that's not, we don't, retcon. We don't know these games. Some other games which are really cool, like in the Musou type of gameplay, like Hyrule Warriors, which I also recommend, are really cool. But you can spend a good 1,000 hours and not be finished with it. As Hero Warriors 2 was recently released, and I think they said they would do something maybe like a Hero Warriors Breath of the Wild. I think I heard about something like this. I really want to see what it's gonna look like, because the first ones were really good. This is not in the timeline. Here you have a straight timeline until Ocarina of Time, which, if you know one game in the series, I guess it's this one. Zelda Ocarina of Time was widely advertised on TV. I don't know for you guys, but at least in Europe, it was in every commercial at the time. So everybody knows at least this game. In this game, you can... after this game, three timelines come out. You know, either you lose, and you have the timeline of the hero has fallen, failed his mission, and every game is quite dark. The second one is you win as a child. The third one is you win as an adult, and each have their very specific timeline. For instance, in the timeline of my favorite one is when you win as an adult. It's a timeline with Wind Waker or the Train 1 Spirit Tracks. For instance, if you recall, in Zelda, there's a race of fish, the Zora. If you go to this specific timeline, they evolve, don't ask me how, into birds. So fish evolve into birds. Why not? Into the Rito. And you will find it only in this very timeline. You won't find it in the other timeline. In the other timeline, there's the same. That's a very specific stuff. And that's how in Breath of the Wild, that you know that it's at the end of every timeline, because it picks up every little thing of the three timelines, so they're all converged into one. And I just wanted to talk about this simply because I found it very funny that Nintendo try not to think about it, because really it's not coherent. It's it tears at the seams about everywhere. But I just found it very funny that they try to do something like this for the fans. And that's really cool they try to do that. I'd like to see the same on the Mario series or something, like how they would try to connect each episode together.
It'd be a lot harder on Mario, I think.
Oh, I think it's already very hard on Zelda. Like, you see Jose, they say, yeah, that's how it goes. And this guy resurrected again and again and again. Yeah, it's you have a couple of bad guys in this one. But if you never played, for instance, the Zelda on the portable console, you would never know of Vati. Vati is a very cool bad guy, but you would only find him in Force Words or Minish Cap or something you would play on Game Boy Advance at the time. Or you would know Ganondorf, of course, because he's the one on the... Ganondorf and Ganon, but that's because that's on the big console, not the portable ones. Mm. But yeah, no, there's a lot of good story on this, and... the latest games have been very good, with Breath of the Wild being excellent, absolutely, and they're really, really well transitioned to an open wild, gameplay. So, yeah, really good, and really excited to see the next opus of the series.
Kind of curious, seeing as Phil has never played it, and we've called him out already, so I don't feel so bad about it. Can you name the main character in the Legend of Zelda series?
Oh, that would be really hard.
I've seen if Phil can do it. Because everyone always wants to say one.
Try your best. There's a lot of memes on that I love.
I can't remember. Are they in Super Smash?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course. You have like a 3 or 4 iteration of the hero on it, actually.
Go on, I don't know. Is it Zelda? I don't know. I don't want to say Zelda. I thought it was somebody else.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is everyone says it's the Legend of Zelda, and everyone always thinks it's Zelda, and Zelda's not the main character. Yeah, she's not even in some of the games.
Is it Link?
It is Link. Zelda's
the princess.
Okay.
Yeah, Zelda's the princess, and she doesn't even show up in some of the games. Like, for instance, Wind Waker. She's not even in there.
Are you kidding? She's the best Zelda princess ever. She's a pirate princess.
Is she in?
Yeah, she goes by the name of Tetra.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that was Zelda.
She is Zelda, and actually, you have to defeat Ganondorf with her because you can't shoot indirectly. So she's holding the shield, and you have to shoot her. So the arrow ricochet on the shield and hit him in the back. I really love that fight.
Is Ganondorf related?
Oh, I'm thinking of Link's Awakening. I'm sorry, not Wind Waker.
Oh yeah, no,
she's not Link's Awakening.
Yeah, but Link's Awakening, he was sleeping the whole time. It's a dream, unfortunately.
It is a dream.
That's nothing really happened in it, so that's a bit sad. I really loved Marin, best waifu of the game. Best waifu of the whole franchise.
Bill's got something to say.
You were saying?
Oh, no, so it's pretty much just like a Mario version of Link trying to save Zelda instead of Mario trying to save whichever one of the princesses of the day he's trying to save.
Except that I don't remember the princess in Mario kicking butt. In Zelda, she often go by herself, kick butts by herself. So
yeah.
But even in the Trilogy of Shame, there's actually one game where you don't control Link, but it's actually Zelda rescuing Link. But it's a Trilogy of Shame, so we don't talk about it.
Yeah, she's also Sheik. Spoiler alert, sorry about that.
Well, it depends, you know, when she transformed into a ninja, you know, in the current of time.
Yeah, that was Sheik, yeah. And in Smash, you can play as Zelda or Sheik. And I remember in one of them, she could transform between the two forms. I think now she's been separated.
Was she? Oh, that's a shame.
I think so. I might be wrong. I haven't played a Super Smash in a long time. But yeah, and then also the whole point is the Triforce. And so Link is what? Link is courage, Zelda is wisdom, and Ganondorf is power, right?
Something like this, yeah. Well, they are trying to keep the three, you know, as one in Hyrule, but then Ganondorf or some evil in the game always breaks the Triforce and you have to chase after it, so.
Yeah, because whoever can possess all three forms has ultimate power.
The Triforce... you don't talk about the Triforce until Ocarina of Time, I think, because in the very first game, I never played Skyward Sword, so I need to check. But in the timeline, in the first ones, like Minish Cap and Four Swords, it's all about Vati, which is a little magician from a dwarf race who transforms into a big bad guy. But I don't think he's looking for the power of light, which definitely is related, but I don't think they talk about the Triforce yet. Hmm. I played this game like 20 years ago. They were fantastic, but that's a very long time ago. So
do you have a favorite Legend of Zelda?
Oh, Wind Waker. I love Wind Waker, really. I think that was one of the first. No, they always try to keep it as... how do you call it? You know, like this very wide environment where you can go whenever wherever you want and do your thing. If you don't want to follow the story, you do whatever, you do your thing. They did it really well with Ocarina of Time, which was really great. I didn't play Majora's Mask simply because I really hated this. I really hated the timer stuff. When my cousin loved it and he was saying, yeah, so basically 3 days before the moon falls on you and after 3 days you have to, you know, play the Ocarina to go back on time and you restart. Even if you're in the middle of the dungeon, you have to restart. You're not selling it very well. I'm not interested in restarting timer run out.
Yeah, Majora's Mask is actually my personal favorite.
A lot of people, play it.
So what it is you go through and there's 3 days and then the world's basically going to end because the moon's going to fall. And then so you play through the first time and you do a dungeon, you gain new powers or new equipment. And then when the time resets, because you have new equipment, you can bypass a lot of the things that you had to do the first time. So like, for example, maybe... the first time you do a dungeon and maybe you get something like, say, the hookshot, and now you have access to a different part of the world. But because these events are always occurring in the same order, things will change. So, for instance, like I think on the second day or something like that, a guy's cows get abducted by a UFO. So if you show up there, you can see these cows get abducted. and you can't save them, but as you progress through the game and you get better skills and stuff, you can go back there and you can save them this time. So even though the timeline repeats, you can kind of change the way things work out. So it's a lot like The Outer Worlds, if you've heard of that one.
I heard of, I never played. I saw it was a nominee as a game of the year, so I really wanted to play it, but I never got really the time for it.
Yeah, I think they took that mechanic from Majora's Mask.
From Zask.
Yeah, so even though the time is resetting, you're actually not playing through the same stuff over and over and over again. Because, like, for example, the first round through, you'll do, say, the Deku Forest or whatever, but now you already have everything for the forest. You have no need to go to the forest, but you need those things to get to the Zora area. So the second time through, you can just completely forget the forest and just go straight to the Zora area. So the time element just kind of adds to puzzles as to when you can do certain things, because they have like a day-night cycle. And you know, you need to do something on the first day, or you need to do it on the second day, or things like that. So it does that, but yeah, it doesn't feel like you're just rehashing the same thing over and over and over again. It feels different every time.
So. Fair enough. Well, unfortunately, to play that game now, it would be very hard, because apart from emulation, which we recall we can't really do, we can't download the ROM. That's, yeah, the emulator itself is fine, not the game. So unless you have Nintendo...
That one was on the N64.
N64, yeah. So unless you have an N64, you can't really play it again. Like, it wasn't remastered or anything.
I think they had an HD remake. Let's see.
They did?
Really? I think so.
I think on the Switch you can play like some very old games.
Yeah, they have that.
So maybe you can do it on the Switch, like on the online shop or something.
Majora's Mask HD for the Switch. No, there's not a version on the Switch.
Yeah, there's not. I'm not even sure they redid Ocarina of Time. That would be, okay. I think, a good success if they redid the old games.
Yeah, I was thinking there was one on...
Maybe there's just too much work, because, you know, like, they redid Skyward Sword, which wasn't that old, so they just, you know, like, bumped it up a little bit. Maybe that was just easy for them.
Yeah, I was thinking there was an HD remake on maybe the... one of the, like, the NDS or something like that, but I'm not seeing it now, so maybe I'm wrong. Could definitely be wrong. All right, well, so Phil, you have any questions
of Link's Awakening?
Do you find it disappointing when games have multiple timelines when there's not still particularly a whole load of them? I mean, like, I understand things, comic books and superheroes, they get remade in alternate timelines and alternate universes all the time, but I mean, they're releasing new comic books every, you know, week or month or whatever, so over 20 or 30 years you need to. But with computer games, when they only release maybe what, one a year, one every few years, yeah, does it not disappoint you to feel a bit like a cheap cop-out to have multiple timelines when they could just follow in one?
Well, in Zelda, at least, it's something which is quite recent, and they just, you know, like, sew it together after the game were released. I don't think they planned it out. So it doesn't feel like this. You know, I played all of Zelda, and like, two or three years ago, realized there's actually a timeline on it. Like, that it makes sense. Nah. It's fine.
It is technically one timeline, right? It's just happening at different points in time, like the far future, the middle future, the past.
Everything happens at different points in time, but from Ocarina of Time to Breath of the Wild, it's three different timelines.
Oh, okay.
Really? Yeah. Like the follow. Well, as I said, you know, the with the adult one, Hyrule gets sealed off and then flooded, which gives you Wind Waker, and after Wind Waker, they find a new continent, which gives you Spirit Tracks. With the kid one, you have Majora's Mask, and then the Shadow Army invasion, which is Twilight Princess. After that, I think you have Vati Resurrected, so it's Force Words adventure. And on the Fallen one, it's where they put the first Zelda 1 and 2. What do you have in the Fallen one? Link to the Past, so 1, 2, 3. Yeah, so all the old games are in the Fallen Hero timeline.
Oh, okay.
And some of the mobile that I play, like Ocarina. No, not Ocarina, like Age and... I don't remember the name.
Hyrule Warriors?
No. It's it was Game Boy Advance game.
Seasons?
Not Seasons. It's at the time. It's remember at the time Pokemon went out with two cartridges. You know, like one red, one blue.
Yeah.
Link, Zelda tried to do the same. They had Oracle of Seasons and Oracle of Ages. So it was nearly the same game with a slight difference. I was trying to make you buy the... Because it's not really the same as Pokemon, so I'm not sure if you... I played Ages and I don't want to play Seasons because it's the same story.
I'm enjoying Phil's face here. He seems to have a thought.
No, it just seems, like I said, you seem to be agreeing then. It's a little bit disappointing. You're disappointed in the series is what you were saying. Just too long to listen.
He's projecting there. He's like, yeah, I've never played it, and now I feel justified in my decision. I'm never going to
play it. I'll maybe try it. It's only one person, though. All the games are one player.
Yes.
Except for some of the NDS ones.
Forswords. Forswords, you can play four, of course. And that's pretty much it, I've seen.
That's a shame. If they'd released one where it was your two-player, probably I'd be more inclined to give it a shot. Not I mean, hell, game. Even Sonic and, you know, all those can come up with a two-player game with Tails running around, bouncing, doing nothing. So I'm sure they could have added an extra character running around, like, doing nothing.
I'm not sure Sonic is a good example. It was a really great one-player game, and it slowly killed itself by adding more and more characters and... games were crap. Actually, on the topic of Sonic, some fan-made game are absolutely fantastic. Like the Sonic GT, it's a free game online. A fan made it. It's much better. It's a bit like Sonic Adventures. You know, like it's really great. So, sorry, Sega. Some fan made better Sonic game than you. Ouch.
I enjoyed Sonic Mania,
not the topic. Sonic is not the topic.
Yeah. All right. Well, if we don't have any questions else or anything else you want to say, Antoine, final commentary?
Well, no, just really waiting for Breath of the Wild 2. And I want to see what they do after, to see if they try to fit another game into one of these three timelines, or if they try to split again after. I want to see what they do with it, because now they introduced a timeline. They have to try to be logical with it, which before they did not want to, but need to at least.
Or they can do what a lot of games and TV shows do nowadays, where they just kind of do whatever they want and then wait for the fans to figure out how way to make it work. And then they say, yes, that's what we were doing all along.
Yes, absolutely.
That seems to be a new trend. All right, then we're going to move on to my personal favorite Nintendo franchise, and that's going to be Metroid, which, if you've ever heard of the term Metroidvania, you can tell just how influential this particular series has been in that, with the Vania coming from, of course, Castlevania. But the original Metroid was released in 1986, so this is a very, very old game, as you can probably tell from the video right now, and this really basic-looking gameplay. And you play as Samus Aran, who is a space hunter, or basically a bounty hunter, and it is her job to kill Metroids, which is why the series is called Metroid. It is not the name of the character, as, again, a lot of times people originally thought this must be the character's name. No, it is not. It is, in fact, the enemies that you're trying to kill. But anyway, like I said, originally released in 1986 was the first one, and I believe the second one came out quite a bit later, maybe 1990 or so, for the Game Boy, and then you had Super Metroid on the Super Nintendo. And it's just kind of gone on from there. And now they're going to have Metroid Dread, which is going to be coming out this September. I believe it is. Let me check my notes. It is coming out on September 8th. They're going to have the newest release of the Metroid series. So the reason I picked this one is I just absolutely loved Metroid. And actually, the first one I played, I think, was actually Metroid 2, Samus Returns. Or Samus Returns is the new updated version of it, but it was the second Metroid for the Game Boy. But, you know, back then I was just kind of like, I don't know what I'm doing, shooting stuff, this is just, you know, whatever, a generic video game, it didn't mean anything to me. And then when Super Smash came out for the N64, you know, we were just playing around and I was playing as the character Samus, and I really enjoyed it, and I just loved the way the character played, and I was like, you know what, I really need to go back and play these old Metroid games. So I went back and played them, and I was just, okay, yeah, I really enjoy Samus. I really enjoy it. the series. Super Metroid is my personal favorite. It's apparently quite a common opinion that a lot of people really enjoy Super Metroid. I haven't enjoyed the 3D games as much, although a lot of people have said they are pretty good, but I don't know. I played Prime and Prime 2, and it didn't work for me as well as the old 2D games, which off topic, that's kind of how I felt about the Sonic the Hedgehog series, where I've enjoyed the 2D ones and I haven't enjoyed the 3D ones. But anyway, you play as Samus, who has a power suit that has quite a few powers. You can curl up into a ball, which you would think would kill you, but it doesn't because you're magic. And, or you know, you have this magic Chozo technology. You can get different kinds of beams. You can get your basic just, you know, pew, 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 like a Mega Man kind of thing, or you can charge it up and then release the shot. You get ice beams. You can get electric beams. You can get missiles, super missiles, mines, super mines. You just get all these other, you know, you just get all these tools. And that is kind of the, that is what the Metroidvania genre is you play through a game. Usually the game is in the form, the map is in the form of basically a maze, and you have access to certain areas, and then you upgrade your powers, learn new abilities, and those will allow you to access other areas. But it's not just a linear progression. You actually have to backtrack, and now you can unlock things that you couldn't do before. So for example, you know, if you're in the first area and there's a wall and you can't get through the wall, well, you progress through, you get the morph ball. Now you can roll in a tiny crack, and then later on you come against this door you can't open. Well, you know, you go to a different area and eventually you get the super missile, you can come back, and now the super missile will open this door. So because of that, there's a lot of going back and forth. So usually the maps are fairly large, but they're not super huge in the sense of like a Skyrim game or The Legend of Zelda. They're not quite that large because there is a lot of backtracking. I know some of the most recent games have added kind of a fast travel system where they have very specific areas you can visit, and those will port you to other nodes on the map that are similar. But for the most part, you would just basically have to run back and forth, which is why Metroid has actually been a popular game for speedrunning, because there is a lot of this, you know, going back and forth. So you do have to kind of, for a speedrun, you do really have to make your time as efficient as possible. But yeah, like I said, I haven't really enjoyed the newer ones as much when they're 3D. I just felt like, you know, it worked really great as a platformer. But then in the 3D games, 3D platforming never really took off. So a lot of the 3D games end up being a little bit more of kind of shooterish. And I feel like the game kind of loses some of its charm when that happens. I feel like a lot of it was, you know, Samus being able to do these super double jumps or, you know, infinite jumps and or grappling around and, you know, being able to kind of navigate these things. And when you go to kind of like a flat corridor and you're just following corridor after corridor after corridor, it didn't really feel as good to me. But yeah, so I really love this series. I think it's great. I think everybody should try it out. It's definitely influenced a lot of games. If you've ever played Hollow Knight or Dead Cells or Shovel Knight or any of those Metroidvania games, this is where it comes from. So yeah, I'm going to open it up for comments now.
Early Metroid always, for me, reminded me like a compromise between Mario and Sonic, in that you could roll in as a ball and you had that fast pace mixed with the jumpy kind of like throwy shooty type things. And surprisingly, I also used to always play Samus on very early Smash Brothers versions games. I think I maybe have played a couple, but I haven't played the newer stuff. So I've not tried it and seen it in the 3D. So this is the first time I'm actually seeing it on the trailer with the 3D things. Yeah, definitely seems to not quite be what you'd want the game to evolve to be. Is there a reason why they decided to go that way that you know of?
I think that the biggest reason was basically just because the newer technology allowed for it. And I think in people's heads, they were like, oh, Metroid's a shooter. You know, she's got this gun. It should be like, you know, GoldenEye, or it should be like Halo, or, you know, it's a logical progression in your mind that she, you know, this should be a shooting game. But at the same time, I think part of the reason it doesn't work out is because, unlike those games where you're picking up a variety of different weapons Samus has a variety of tools, but not necessarily a variety of weapons. And so because of that, the fact that it focuses on shooting for me kind of feels dry, because the shooting isn't the point. The point is the exploration. And now, actually, a lot of the games have kind of switched it up. So, like, for instance, the trailer that's showing right now, Other M, a lot of the game was in a third person. So it was kind of like a Crash Bandicoot kind of thing where you're behind her and you can shoot things. But again, it still kind of felt weird to me, because, again, it felt linear in a way. It didn't feel like you were exploring. I mean, you're still exploring and all that. But yeah, I don't know. It just didn't have the same appeal to me. It just felt like corridors in a way. However, Metroid Dread is going back to the 2D. What do they call it? 2.5D or whatever, where it's basically a 3D game, but it's played on a flat plane effectively, you know, where it's effectively just two dimensional. You know, you can go left, right, up and down, and that's it. So it looks like they're going in that direction for that one. Previously, I think they had done Samus Returns, which was a remake of Metroid 2. That was also done in kind of the, you know, that where it plays as a 2D game. So it seems like they're kind of going back to that in a lot of these games, because, yeah, it seems like the nostalgia is there where people want it to be kind of this 2D exploration game. So for better or worse, that seems to be where they're going with it. Although I think the game, for me too, also kind of has fundamentally changed in a lot of ways. For instance, if you played the original ones, there's a lot of kind of foreboding, you know, it was obvious. The game is obviously influenced by Alien, the movie. And, you know, I mean, the main bad guy's name is Ridley, which is just one letter flipped over from Ripley, the main character of Alien. And that's not a coincidence. That was very specifically done, that they reference the main character in Alien as, you know, he's a villain here, but. Or for instance, the main protagonist in the original game, you go through the whole thing, it's this person in a power suit, everybody thought it was a guy, and then at the end of the game, it's revealed that, you know, once you beat the game, it's revealed, no, it's a woman in a power suit, you know, your main character's a woman, not a man, where most people had been playing this game thinking it's a generic dude bro, you know, shooting around and blowing stuff up. So that was obviously taken from the Alien franchise. So there's a lot of that influence in there, and the first few games are very kind of dark, very kind of brooding. The music typically is designed to fit with the environment, so if you're in a volcanic area, the music kind of has like a gravelly rumble to it. It's almost not even music, it's just like a few notes placed over kind of background sound, whereas if you play a lot of the newer games, they're kind of like jazzed up and everything's brightly colored and it's flashy. And so I feel like it's kind of lost a lot of the appeal. And I'll be honest, I'm a little bit worried about the newest one, Metroid Dread, which is actually the trailer that's playing right now. Just because they've come out and they said, that, again, like Zelda, they've come out with a timeline for Metroid. But it is one continuous timeline where you can see this is what Samus did, and then this is what Samus did, and then this is what Samus did. And at this point in the game, all the Metroids have been destroyed. So there are no more Metroids, and they've said that the Metroid story is over, but Samus's is not, so they're going to continue the series, but Metroids are not going to be the main focus. So it's kind of seems like they're going to try to do almost like a soft reboot, where they're like, okay, well, now that Samus has completely finished this mission, she's got to completely change the way things are. So it'll be interesting to see where they go, but I am a little bit worried, because it feels like it might end up becoming something that was very, very different from what the heart of the original game was, and, you know, in an attempt to kind of update it or something. So we'll have to see how that goes. Antoine looks like he's got a comment.
No, I just don't want you to kill me, really. When I first saw the Metroids, I saw it was some kind of cheap or ripoff of Mega Man.
Oh, Mega Man!
A little guy going with a cannon.
If on the surface it looks that way, and gameplay wise, it's kind of similar, but in the concept of how her gun works, but the gameplay is completely different. Mega Man was like Mario or Sonic, where you're progressing, you know, move to the right, you know, and progress right, and then beat the level, gain the power, do the next level, beat the guy, gain the power, do the next level. Metroid is not that at all. Metroid is about exploration. there are bosses within the worlds, but you have to find those bosses. And you do get power-ups, but you don't necessarily get them from the bosses. So while it looks like Mega Man, you know, from the standpoint of it's, you know, it's a 2D platformer, she's got a gun for an arm, she gets power-ups, the actual way the game plays is completely different. It would be kind of like comparing, say, Sonic the Hedgehog and Mario, where, you know, they're both platformers, they both progress, you know, you're running from left to right. But in Mario, you can get, you know, certain kinds of power-ups, like you get the flight suit and that. But in Sonic the Hedgehog, you know, you're doing entirely different things. You know, you've got the shields and whatnot, which kind of give you powers up. But, you know, Mario was more about the platforming aspect of it, and Sonic was more about really flashy, really fast. Right, exactly. Mario is really slow compared to Sonic the Hedgehog. So even though they look the same, if you're watching a video, when you're playing them, they feel very different. And this is the same thing with Metroid and Mega Man, where they might look very similar on the outside, but when you play it, it doesn't feel anything like Mega Man. Yeah.
I imagine it's just that's why I never actually went into the Metroid franchise. At first, I saw this. No, I like Mega Man. I'll stay with this. you said it's based a lot on exploration, nearly more than fighting monsters. You think they would benefit to do and, you know, put a lot of money into a game and try to make it a bit like a Breath of the Wild, you know, like a giant alien world to explore with a lot of enigmas and stuff, and you can go absolutely anywhere to explore the world.
I think it would be really hard to do because like, for instance, it is all about exploration, but a lot of times you have Samus going like deep into caverns and into alien spaceships, and it's labyrinthian in a way. So if you had something like Breath of the Wild as a labyrinth, that I could see that becoming very tedious to navigate very quickly. And I think that's part of the reason the old games work is because it is a labyrinth, but you've eliminated that third dimension. So you only have to worry about navigating in two. And I think that makes it a little more palatable.
I was thinking more of Horizon Zero Dawn then, because you have a very wide world, but you have some dungeons too. Very linear, definitely, compared to what you're showing me on the videos. But, you know, something like this, a bit more like 3D.
It could work. I think that's kind of what they attempted with the Metroid Primes and these 3D ones, and I think they just didn't work. So I'm not going to say it's not possible, but I don't think it would be easy to do, and I would prefer they kind of don't even attempt it.
Just don't try.
Right. Unless you have a brilliant idea. I think sticking to the classics is probably better. Because also in a way, like, it's one of those things where, because Metroid, I feel like, was not designed with that in mind, you're almost shoehorning it in to something it wasn't supposed to be. And whereas Horizon Zero Dawn was designed with that in mind, or Breath of the Wild was designed with that in mind, right? And I think in that sense, it'd be better for Metroid just to stick, you know, be what Metroid is, evolve on that a bit, not take, here's another kind of gameplay, let's figure out a way to make it work, make Metroid work this way, you know? So, I mean, that's my personal opinion. Other people might disagree. But
I understand your opinion. I see that all these games you were talking about, like Sonic or Mario, they kind of evolve from that, you know, 2D character scroller to a more 3D world. But you're right, if it just doesn't work, then just keep it, you know, evolve at least, and don't just keep the same kind of gameplay. But if it works, fair enough.
Yeah,
maybe it could evolve to like a third-person shooter with, I don't know, maybe three-person fire teams. That'd be quite different and unique.
They had something like that actually at one point. I think it was Metroid Hunters or something like that, where you could play as different hunters that weren't Samus. But it was like an arena shooter or something. So, but yeah, three person fire teams. Everybody gets unique abilities based on their class. You know,
which makes no real difference, you know, for actual gameplay.
No, because they have to be able to play solo, so everybody has to be able to basically cover the same content.
Mm-hmm. We've got it. We've worked it out. We've got a good game plan here. Be unique and different.
That's right. Nobody's ever thought of this before. All right. Well, do we have any other comments or anything else?
No, we're good.
No? All right. Well, we have a few minutes left. So I have some news things that we can talk about in about 5 minutes. Hopefully it'll be short. We kind of mentioned the Blizzard thing. We've mentioned Steam Deck and talked about Alienware, but I did have one more. That was this. Yeah, I guess you guys can't really see it on your screens, but if you're watching on the screen, on the stream, you can see it. Basically, what has happened is China has come out and said that video games are, spiritual opium and need to be regulated. So they have passed laws that require, that do not allow children to play video games more than I think it was 1 hour a day during the regular school year or whatever. And I think it was up to either 2 or 3 hours a day on holidays or weekends or something like that. So what do you think about something like this? Do you think video games should be more regulated, or?
If the parents can't even stop their own kids to play after 1 hour, how the government is planning to do that?
Well, apparently what's happening now is a lot of games. So, for instance, we've talked about this before in games like League of Legends or Valorant, you have really toxic communities, right? And apparently, I personally think that that's a big part of the anonymity of it, and that nobody knows who you are. And then also, if your account gets banned, it's trivial to create a new account, right? Because you don't have to pay for it. It's free. So I think that that feeds into the that culture. Well, but apparently what's happening is accounts in China are needing to be attached to real world ID. So they will know who you are. They will know how much you've played, and they can watch, you know, the content you're putting out there in terms of chat. So I think it's fixed a few problems. Personally, I think it
creepy.
Creates creepy. A few new problems. But yeah, so they're cracking down it's kind of a 180, because consoles were banned basically up until 2018, and now they are and then in 2018 they said, you know what, let's bring consoles in, let's let people play games. And then here we are 3 years later, and they're like, you know what, let's limit how much people can play because they're playing too much.
For kids, it's a good idea. Honestly, I don't like the fact that they are really, you know, that policing the kids that much, but it's a good idea. That's a lot less work for parents, because when my kids are in school and they are focusing on their video games rather than homework, it's really painful for me to stop them. Say, go do your homework, and they are not concentrated and stuff. So yes, it's not a bad idea to limit. 1 hour is already good. I mean, when I was a kid, my mother was like, half an hour, and I'm counting every minute, and there was no save. You couldn't save, you know, like every half an hour, couldn't you? So, and your Game Boy did have an autonomy of like 4 batteries, which was a few hours at top. So, I just can't see that as a bad idea. You know, like limiting the gameplay of kids. I mean, after, when they're adult, they do whatever they want, but yeah, studies come first. Just creepy to watch over them like this.
How can I try and remain politically neutral in what I'm going to say? The idea of China limiting and restricting people's civil freedoms and rights just seems absurd to me. I don't believe it. You know, they're such an open and free country where people can do whatever they want. I don't know. I think it's a slippery slope. And you talk about it being new. I don't think it is a new policy. I think it's been, I heard about this like about 2 years ago. I think it might be coming out into effect. Maybe they've actually passed it now, but they've been talking about this for at least 2 years, about the limitations on being able to spend money and not being able to play. That. Yeah. And not being able to play between like 10 PM and 8 AM at all. And yeah, the curfews about time limits per day. Yeah, I don't know. I think this is something that should be decided on by a parent. I think sending a law for it is ridiculous. And there's nothing really to stop you, even if you sign it by rights and you say, right, okay, well, I have a child account and I can only play for 1 hour. How many people have children's accounts here and end up, the children just log on their parents' account? You know, I see it all the time where the kid just goes, oh, I'll just click on daddy's account. Okay, now I can play daddy's games and I can play these violent, aggressive games and what have you. So I don't know. It seems to be well-intentioned. Maybe if you care about children's, then it should be a parental decision made by parents on a personal level. And like you say, some people might only want them to be playing for half an hour. Some people might not want the children at all to play video games. But it doesn't really seem to make much of a difference.
I do agree with the idea that they had where a children's account cannot purchase online combat or not online content. I do think that's actually kind of a smart move. Because apparently that's one of the problems that America's had with kind of these predatory ads where people are like, oh, hey, you know, click this and you get this. And there was a case where like there was a little girl who was playing some Smurf game and she ended up like spending over $1,000 on this Smurf game and her parents didn't know until it was too late. So I do think maybe, you know, setting a, you know, limitations on that. But personally, I think like you guys have said, that should be up to the parents. And, you know, maybe if you had more parental controls, you know, like saying, a spending limit, and you can set that to zero. But you could also say like, OK, you know, like you can spend like, say, $1 a week or something like that. Or, you know, you can set how long. I think some of the parental controls on the Switch will say like, how long can you play before the Switch will turn itself off or lock you out?
Does it have this option?
I think it does.
I need to check that because that's exactly what I want.
Yeah, you know, like, I think it does where you can set it to say like, okay, 2 hours.
The console is telling you only have half an hour to play anymore. So
yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it does because we had a teacher here and I was helping her set up some of the parental things. I think what you can do is you can sync it up with your phone and then you can control the parental settings from your phone.
Oh, yeah, here. Link your Nintendo Switch console to the Nintendo Switch Parental Controls application. After the link is complete, start the Nintendo Switch Parental Controls application, select console settings, and select playtime limit.
So, yeah, apparently it can be done. But in my personal opinion, I'm more of the opinion that that should be something up to the parents rather than up to the government.
Oh, yeah, of course. Definitely.
And what happens if you break the rules?
I have no
idea. Your six-year-old's broken the rules to prison for 5 days.
Yeah, I have no idea what happens if you break the rules. I would assume it would just affect your social credit score, but that would be my assumption. All right, so politics is being put away, and it looks like it's about time for the show to be put away as well. So any final comments or thoughts, guys, before we head off?
I'm good for tonight.
All right. Well, then that is it for today. Make sure that if you haven't subscribed, you go ahead and subscribe and ring the bell or whatever it is that allows you to see us all the time when we're online, because you want to see us and we want you to see us and we want to see you. So leave comments when you can. And with that, we have not planned on a theme yet for next week, but we will be having one. So you'll find out when we come up for that. As far as gaming this week, what can we expect from you, Phil?
We'll see.
All right. Fantastic. Glad to hear that plan. Antoine.
More Spellcaster University and hopefully with sound this time.
All right. Yeah.
I just noticed while talking to Adam that the game sound didn't record properly. So that's a bit of a bummer.
Oh, that's okay. I think we figured it out now. So it should be okay. And I will probably continue with Hunter's Arena Legends. So I'm probably going to continue with that one for a little bit. I'm having fun with it. It's okay. As far as, is this going to be a game that's going to last forever? Honestly, I don't think so, but it's fun for now. So I'll probably continue with that. And then once I can get back into my full weekly schedule, I'll cycle Greedfall back in. So, all right. And with that, that is the end of the show, guys. So yeah, we'll see you again next week.
Yeah, see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.